What kind of hope do we have? What kind of hope do you have? That's quite an important question. Most of us will answer, yes, we hope to meet Jesus as he's coming again. That's true. That's what we should. But if somebody is coming, we usually used to prepare ourselves. Usually we try to do everything that we are absolutely ready. So what to do? How to do it? By the way, I have to tell you honestly that preparations are not the best for me. I still remember, you know, many times as I prepared for my travels. In fact, you know how was that? For a long time I was traveling, for so many years, all the time traveling, that some people said during my anniversary of my wedding that probably half of my wedding I spent outside home. Who knows? I didn't count it. Well, probably there was greater joy as I came back and stayed together with my family. So preparations were took over by my wife. She prepared everything. And I have to tell you, I trusted her so much that quite often I forgot something what I should prepare. Yeah, preparations are not the best thing that we love, that we want to do. So that's the reason I decided to say something about preparing for Jesus to come. I look into different books. I was looking for some sources, you know, of some ideas. And as I looked, there was nothing what satisfied me. So that's the reason I took the Bible. And in the Bible, I found out something what is really fantastic. And it's completely different. You know how I did it? I just decided to look for the verses in the Bible that use the word "you must." Well, that's something what we don't like. Isn't it so? We don't like the word "must." Well, I can do something. I'm willing to do something, but I must? Well, anyhow, Jesus used those words. And starting, I will just invite you to take, you know, your Bibles, if you will read by yourself also. Take it and look into the third chapter of John. There's a story of the meeting between Jesus and Nicodemus. You remember that man, very proud, well-educated, and very rich. He came during the night to Jesus to talk, you know, like equal partners for discussion. And Jesus started to talk to him in a very strange way. In fact, instead of just continuing what Nicodemus said, because he was just saying, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." But Jesus came suddenly straight to the very, very important verse. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Well, probably you heard already hundreds of sermons about the new birth. Probably you know very well what we are meaning by this. I used to say sometimes that it's just changing the hard drive of our mind and doing something that, you know, we start to think differently, to talk differently, to behave differently, to walk differently, to do everything differently. But, well, better not to ask you, do you really feel that you are born again? If it is a must, and it is something what is so important as we are going to meet Jesus in future, as we are going to be the inhabitants of his kingdom, are you born again? We must. And that's the first must I wanted to tell you, because that's connected to the preparation for his coming. I have to do something with this. By the way, what can I do? Did you thought for some time about this? What can we do? I can answer for this question. Nothing. Just accept. Because new birth is not something that you produce, that you do by yourself. That is something that is God doing in your life. You are just allowing him. You desire it. You want it. And that's the first condition of meeting Jesus, of being prepared. But in the same chapter 3, I found another moment that is telling me something very, very interesting. Now appears John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the one who is just coming and meeting hundreds of people, thousands of people. They are coming to him and he's baptizing them. But at the same time, John the Baptist is teaching them. And he taught something fantastic. He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Did you thought about it? What does it mean? I think it means that we have just a very simple capacity. The more of Jesus in us, the less of us. The more of us, there is not enough place for Jesus. I looked at the other translations, and let me just quote from the Message. You know, Peterson, who has done this very interesting paraphrase of New Testament, he has written this verse in such a way. This is the assigned moment for him to move into the center while I slip off to the sidelines. Interesting. Very good. It means something. I disappear. He appears. And people who are meeting us will suddenly say, "Well, you are different. You are like him, like Jesus." It was just this week that I, by accident, found the series of the films, movies on Jesus' life, The Last Time, and in fact, not only on Jesus, but also on the first Christian church, how it growed. It was growing in a very, very interesting way. The church was growing because there were people who disappeared by themselves. They shone only Jesus living in them. And that is something what is so, so important. Yes, dear friends, that is something what we have to remember. There are two conditions now. The first condition, we must be born again. And the second, he must grow in us, increase in us, and will decrease. But just let me go to another condition of our preparation. I know that you are already shocked, because you didn't expect that I'm going to say about something like this. Preparation means to prepare the suitcases. Preparation means to prepare many things, you know, we are going to do. Well, ourselves also, of course, we know, but we never concentrate enough on this. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, I found the story, what is very well known, and probably you remember it. There's a Samaritan woman. I used to say even that she was the very, very interesting person. I even called her an Adventist. You know why? Because she was expecting something better, the new kingdom, the coming of the Lord to her life. But you know what's happened with her? That she tried something what we do quite often in our lives. You know what I mean? She suddenly changed the topic if Jesus touched something what is the most important. She realized that we should live for him. She realized that we should do everything for him, whatever he expects us to do. But as Jesus asked her about her private life, suddenly, she tried to change the discussion into the very deep theological topic. "Lord, if you are the prophet, tell us where we should worship God." You know, the Samaritans had the different idea. They were not allowed to come to Jerusalem, where was the sanctuary. So they built their own. And they had on the Mount of Gerizim, not far from Shechem. That's something very interesting. On the Mount of Gerizim, They built a sanctuary and they said, that's the place where we should worship the Lord. Well, the Jewish people will say, no, never. Only you can do it in Jerusalem. So she asked the right question. But what was the answer? Listen, that's the 4th chapter of John and verse 24. God is spirit, Jesus said, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Did you notice the third time appears the word must? And of course, if you are going to meet him, if you are looking for his coming, we must do something. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship him in spirit? Well, it's not so hard to think. It means to be guided by the Spirit. It means to be influenced by the Spirit. It means to be prepared by the Spirit, who is taking the role of preparing us for meeting him. It means something even more. It means to be obedient to his voice as he is guiding us, correcting us, helping us, leading us, and drawing us to Jesus. That's his role. Well, then the question comes, what does it mean to worship him in truth? Well, Jesus said that he is the truth. So it means to be connected to Jesus so much that we are sure that we are doing it in a proper way. How do you like it? There's a third condition of preparation. And the third condition of preparation tells us straight about something very important. It tells me that I have to be born again, that I have to be the one who is just decreasing and letting him, Jesus, to come into my heart, into my mind, and completely take the leadership of my life. And thirdly, it means that we are going to worship him in a proper way, not in the place, right place, just in the spirit and truth. Well, that's interesting, but I have to tell you that I found another place where the word must is also used. This time I will take you into the journey to the Old Testament. That's the time that Israel was invaded by many other nations. Many armies came there, and they had to defend themselves. They had to fight. But it was hard to fight with Israel, because all the enemies noticed suddenly that they are led by God. And they didn't understand it, but they agreed there is something unusual. There was a time that there was a prophet in Israel, and the name of the prophet was Balaam. Balaam was a strange person. I'm not going to tell you too much about him, but I can tell you that he's being used not only in the book, the fourth book of Moses, so it means in the book of Numbers. I can tell you that he's going also mentioned in the book of Revelation, because he started to be the symbol of apostasy, of the problem, symbol of not being obedient to God. But that moment, as the king, Balak, has invited Balaam to come and to curse Israel, Balaam agreed because he was paid for this, but he never cursed Israel. Whenever he came on the mount and saw the whole camp of the nation that he came from, nation that God of this nation called him to be the prophet, he stood in front of all of them, King Balak and all his advisors, and he lifted the hands, and instead of cursing, he was blessing Israel. There was something interesting. Balak, the king, came to him and said, "What are you doing? I'm paying you. Do you want more? I will pay you more. Curse this Israel." But the answer was very simple. I'm quoting it from the book of Numbers, chapter 23, and there, verse 26. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, "Did I not tell you, saying, all that the Lord speaks that I must do. I love this verse. Because if you want to meet Jesus, and he is our Lord, we have to do what he wants me to do. What does it mean? What he wants me? Well, that's probably I'm coming to the very, very dangerous area, because we don't like the word obedience, especially younger people. Don't tell us about obedience. But in fact, obedience appears all the time. Whenever we want to come to Jesus, whenever we want to come to the Lord, obedience is so important. So we have to act accordingly to the will of God. Well, what does it mean? I'm not going to tell you about the Ten Commandments now. He wants us something more to do. So my advice to be prepared for his coming means, by the grace of God and his power, engage more in daily prayers. Do we have more time nowadays? With all these problems that we face in the whole world, maybe it is especially given to us as the opportunity to come to the Lord, to pray more. What about studying the Bible? Do we have more time to study this wonderful book every day, reading more, coming deeper and deeper into the meaning? Do we have the time to read some spiritual of prophecy books, just to study them more and deeper, and to understand what God wants us to do? Well, there is another thing in preparation. It means sharing everywhere where we are with other people this good news that he is coming. This information, what they need, because they didn't find it, because they don't believe in it. And maybe that's the time to tell them, but you know, Jesus is coming. Yes, dear friends, that's something very important. To the preparation means also to serve him in the way that he wants us to do. Being aware of many dangerous deceptions that appear nowadays. So, dear friends, we have another condition, another must for the kingdom. I must do all what the Lord speaks. And the Lord wants us to do something. Well, probably we have four conditions of our preparation, but that's not all. Let us come back to the Old Testament, to the New Testament, sorry. Because there I found another condition, and it is very important. Apostle Paul is writing many letters. In fact, these 14, or some people say 13 letters of Apostle Paul in New Testament, they are just delivering the special message for our times. The special message for those who are going to be prepared for his coming, for meeting him. It's not enough just to nod the head. It must be something more. Apostle Paul, in the second book of Corinthians, tells me the good gospel. That's the fifth chapter and verse 10. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, how would you like it? I know that the word judgment creates a special feeling in us. That's normal. We feel that something is not as it should be, because we don't like to go to the judgment. Even being the witnesses, even just being asked to say something only, not being accused of anything. But this time, we have to stay in front of judgment seat of Christ. You know why I said that it is the gospel? Because whenever Christ appears, there is a gospel. There is a good news. And there is a good news about judgment. We have to realize it. We have to know it. We have to believe it. He's our judge, and he's our advocate. Well, what can we? How can it be possible? But it is. That's something very specific about this judgment. I love the expression that's the judgment seat of Christ. Who can destroy us? Who can do something against us if we are completely dependent on him? That's a beautiful message. That's something what I love so much. The judgment seat of Christ. Yes, God the Father has given everything into the hands of his Son. And in this way, we come to the judgment seat. I say, praise the Lord. You know, if I'm talking about judgment, I realize that there are two possibilities. One possibility is that we can be judged of everything. Of each word, well, that's what I'm scared about. I read in one book that average person speaks about 3,000 words a day. Well, if 3,000 words the average person says, so what the preacher can say, I'm probably double this number. Just think about a day, 3,000. We have 7 days in a week. So how much does it eat? Is it? Altogether, as we'll multiply, it gives us 7 times 3, 21,000. Well, by the way, if we are going to multiply it by the number of weeks in a month, in a year, in the 70 years of our lives, well, wait a moment. Dear friends, what we can expect? There is no chance for us. And they are on the words. What about the thoughts? What about the deeds? What are we going to do? Well, we can be sure that in his hands we are absolutely in the best position. Because if we accepted Jesus, he sees himself in us. There is nothing dangerous. There is nothing better that could happen for every one of us if we believe, if we accept him. That's the preparation for his coming. Very important. The Bible tells us about it so many times. And praise God for this. There was another, the fifth must. But I would like to invite you now to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, I found here another place that I want to quote. This is probably the worst, because that's what we don't like. Listen to this. In chapter 14, at verse 22, I read what Paul says, in fact, because he is so active in this part of the book of Acts. We must go through many tribulations. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Well, I look in other translations. The New International Version tells us that we have to go through different hardships. But quoted before the Message paraphrase, I will quote you what is written there. Anyone signing up for the kingdom of God has to go through plenty of hard times. That's the reason I told you that we don't like it. And that is exactly what we experience nowadays. It even can go and be worse. I don't like it. Oh, no. I just dream about the moment that we can meet again personally, all here in the church, that we can sing together, being so grateful to the Lord that everything what was bad has finished. But it can be going worse and worse. What we'll do? Where we put our hope? How we live? That's the sixth must that I found in connection with our preparations. That is something what we have to remember all the time. Yes, dear friends, that is something so important. But I have to tell you that I found another must, what is simple and wonderful and summarizes everything. The seventh one. That's the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that is being called quite often, that's a chapter about the heroes of faith. And you know what is written there? In the sixth verse that we know by heart is written, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that is he, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we must believe. Yes, Christianity is about believing all the time in everything. Everything comes by faith. Everything is so important for every one of us. If we believe, if we take it by faith and we follow. What do you think about it? Just think for a moment, do we believe really? For to believe, it doesn't mean to nod the head. To believe, it doesn't mean even to declare in words something. To believe means to live accordingly. Do we? How it is with us? We want to be ready. We have to prepare. And this preparation is something what is so simple and so amazing. I put it on my heart, on my card here. Look at this. Being born anew. Grow every day in him, and he is growing in us. Worshipping him in a proper way, in spirit and in truth. Acting accordingly to the will of God. Doing everything and sharing this news with other people. Be aware that the judgment is coming. There will be the hard times also. And that's what we have to believe. Yes, dear friends, if we know it, everything changes. So what to do? Does it mean that having those or accomplishing these things, we are absolutely ready to meet him? Well, yes, it means so. And especially as I read in the book of Colossians, in the first chapter, in verse 27, it sounds beautiful. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is something what is also loved by me. This expression tells everything. Christ not beside me. Christ not just the topic to discuss. Christ in me, the hope of glory. For as he will come, and that's what we are going to preach on this more and more, as he will come, he will take us home, and that will be the most beautiful. Paul, that I quoted a few times in Ephesians 3:17, tells, so that Christ may dwell in you, dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, follow him. Dear friends, how it is with us. The preparation doesn't start with packing the suitcases. It starts with doing something with ourselves, inviting him, feeling that we are different. I pray to the Lord all the time that he will change us during those days. He will remodel us and he will prepare us for his coming. That's what I wish you. And I believe that's a good start right now as we have some more time to think, to pray, to study, and to follow him. Because there, the coronavirus is not acting. There, we are only with him, the safest place in our world. Let us pray. Lord, you know us. You know our hearts. You know what we need. And you know all our mistakes also. But Lord, you know that if there is something what we desperately need, it's you in us, the hope of glory. And all those musts that I mentioned from the Bible. Lord, I pray that you will be with everyone who is listening to us now, watching us, that you will just send the power that will change us and will do us like you, obedient, loving, and serving. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. So, dear friends, as we finished, I want to say goodbye to you, but at the same time, I want to assure you that we are ready to pray, ready to chat, ready to talk, to discuss, just to be together. If you want, just call us, call Pastor Josh, call myself, and help us to be so close to you.